The message this morning is about the mercy seat. Amen? The mercy seat and the blood. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I can feel it already. Got to hang with me, okay? If you get confused, raise your hand, okay? God is not, I already got somebody raising their hand back there. Wise guys. Yeah, God's not the author of confusion. Amen? Amen. God desires for us to know the truth, and that because that truth is a powerful effect on us. What does it do? It sets us free. Amen. The more truth we got, the more freedom we have. The more freedom we have, the more truth we have. The more truth we have, the more Jesus we have, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It is His nature. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is God. Hey, so when we look into this, we're going to go into some things. But if you would, turn to your Bible. Lost my notes. It could get really wild then. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. Hallelujah. If you got a chance, if you can, there's space on the sheet that we give you. What's that called? I can't even think of it. The bulletin. On the bulletin, there's a place for you to write some notes, okay? Write down some scriptures, and take them home and look at them and just go through maybe some of the things you hear today. Hallelujah. God is good. It's good to keep things moving in your heart with God. Amen? Hallelujah. So, Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to start at verses 13 through 19. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 13. Chapter 16, verse 13. Yes, sir. Okay. And verse 14, do you guys get that? Sorry. Did I say John? Matthew 1, okay. Okay. All right. How are we doing? Praise God. Thank you for coming to church today. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. All right. Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. Are we ready? When Jesus came up into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah's, or one of the prophets. And He said to them, but whom do you say that I am? How many of you know it's important that you know who Jesus is? Is that right? Amen. When Jesus asked that question, he's asking the group, but then makes it very personal. But who do you say that I am? Amen? God is a personal God with you, and He wants to know you personally. Doesn't matter. We don't serve the God of Billy Graham. We serve a God, a personal God. That is personal to you. Amen? Praise God. And He wants to talk to you. He wants to know you. Amen? He wants you to know Him. So it says, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm sure Simon Peter might have been a little nervous about this answer. He says, probably felt it within him. And how many of you ever done that before? You just kind of got something within you, but you just kind of hold it in. But Jesus is asking a question. But Peter says, I'm just going to go ahead and say what I feel. And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Very key point. It's your Father that reveals things to you through Jesus. Amen. Very, very important to us that we receive things that are spiritual. Amen? Hallelujah. And then Jesus says, and I say to you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Is that true? Amen. That is an absolute true statement. The gates of hell, I will build my church on the rock of Revelation. What God reveals to you, He reveals. And before you know it, you're walking in what He's revealing to you, what He's saying to you. And God begins to build His church. And The Bible says, Jesus says it, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? Amen. Oh, you didn't hear it. The gates of hell won't prevail. Amen? It's got no place. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many know we're pushing? We're pushing. Hallelujah. Bible says that the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. And so we are pushing. We're pushing into this world. Hallelujah. And you know, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Praise God. But what I'm wanting to bring you to is this scripture here. And then he says, and I will give to you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. But he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Oh, man. How many of you know that there are things that are hidden that sometimes we just don't understand, but God wants to bring that understanding to us. I want to bring up Matthew 13, verse 11. Jesus was just given the parable of the sower, and in that parable, after he had spoken the first part of the parable, the disciples came to him and say, why do you talk to them in parables or these kind of stories that you, come on, Jesus, why don't you just tell them straight out, right? And he says in verse 11, Jesus answers, he says, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. He's talking to his disciples right here. He says, the reason I talk to them in his parables, because for you, it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And I would say that to you this morning, it's been given to you to know. God wants you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. How do you know that? Is that right? He wants you to know it. He wants you to bank on it. Is that right? You can be, he wants you so confident in what he's telling you and what he is giving you that you can say, hey, you know what? These things are the reality of my life. Amen? Praise God. And he's given these mysteries to you. How many like mysteries? Nancy Drew? Anybody? No? Any of the mysteries? Yeah, come on. Yeah. Who's the other guy? Oh, yeah. How about Perry Mason? I used to watch those all the time with my mom. We'd go to, you know, and my son bought me a little pack of Perry Mason. I was watching them the other day. They're kind of boring, man. Sorry, man. But just old stuff. Anybody like Perry Mason? Anyway, praise God. Yeah. What does that got to do with this? Anyway, mysteries. Mysteries of the kingdom. How many know that the blood of Jesus Christ is a mystery? Do you know that? Oh, man, it's a great mystery. God's Son coming to this earth and shedding his blood is a great mystery. So I want to take you to Exodus chapter 25. And what we're going to look at is the what God is telling Moses when he told him to build what he called the Ark of the Covenant. And in that ark contained what the Bible calls the mercy seat. And what God is looking at, what God was doing. At that time, Jesus hadn't come to the earth, hasn't been there. So God was looking at helping the nation of Israel to understand that sin is bad for you. How many know sin's bad for you? Amen. I'm going to say that one more time. How many of you know that sin is bad for you? How many of you know that being contrary to what God is bad for you? How many of you know it's not good for you? I'm going to tell you, you know, this world sometimes has a way of saying that the things that are bad are good. But the fact of the matter is, they're bad. Isn't that right? God says if it's against God's, his word and his nature, it is not good. Amen? I don't care what the late night talk host show say about it. Amen? Come on, man. It's not good. Amen. If it's sin. Sin's not good. God was trying to show the children of Israel. He says, let me just give you an example on earth of what sin is and how it works. How it actually, literally separates a man from God. Do you know that? Sin will separate you from God. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Tell your friends that. Amen. Don't be afraid. Say, hey, man, that might be fun, but it will separate you from God. It will if you continue in it. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is giving Moses the orders. I want you to build this. I want you to, you know, that way the people can have a bit of an understanding of what's going on. And he told Moses, make sure you build it after the plans that you saw, after the pattern, he calls it. Some of you ladies like to sew, right? After the pattern, make sure you build it after that pattern. What happens if you don't build something after the pattern? It can have one sleeve up here. One, is that right? It can be a disaster. But God told Moses, make sure you the pattern you saw. You know, when God showed Moses some things, and he showed him how to build this thing. So let's go into this. It's Exodus 25. We're going to read verses 10 through 22. And God says, you know, I just want to give you a pay attention. If you got it on your Bible, they're not going to put it up here. But it says in verse 8 of this chapter, I just love this scripture. And when I looked at it, I go, man, I got to say that. I don't care. All right. I just got to say it. And it says, let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. See, God is wanting to dwell among us. He wants to be with us. He loves us. And he says, so I'm going to, just so that I can be with you. Jesus hadn't come yet, and so there has to be, sin has to be dealt with. Build an ark. Build this thing so that I can dwell among you. And then verse 10, he says, and they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof. 2 rings shall be on one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. And just for a little description, he's asking them to build a box with rings that are on it. And those rings are on each corner, and what they're going to do is they're going to take poles, and they're going to run these poles through these rings so they can support it and carry it without touching it, okay? All right? It's important that they don't get a hold of it in the state that they are, because it is holy. It's separate from man. So they've got these poles to carry this thing with, if you will, okay? Hallelujah. What verse am I on? 15. And the staves shall be in the rings of the ark, that they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark of the testimony, which I shall give thee. I want you to look at that verse. God is saying, I want you to put things in there, but I'll tell you what to put in it, okay? Is that all right? Is that okay? I know that you want to put that up in another version, if you like, or what does somebody have it in a different version where it's verse 17? What does it say? If you want to just shout it out.
And put in the ark the testimony which I give you.
Okay, NIV says, put in the ark the testimony what I give you. So God is telling them, I'm going to tell you what to put inside the ark, okay, inside the box, all right, that has a mercy seat on the top of it, all right? So the next verse goes this. It says, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. That's the same size as the box. What he had told him to build a box, the same dimensions, God just gave him the same dimensions to build this mercy seat over the top of it. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And one, make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. Everybody got that? Praise God. Just to make it clear, we're going to build this thing for you real quick, okay? God just got through telling them to build this this box. So this is the box. This is courtesy of Annie Cooper. Praise God. Hallelujah. Make sure she don't turn it around. She says it's got a whale on this side. Hey, I'm going to do it from scratch, guy. Is that okay? All right. Praise God. And he told them to make a mercy seat. I thought this piece of glass was going to fit this perfect, but it doesn't, so we're going to set it this way, okay? And he build this thing, make it out of shittim wood, and make it the dimensions I give you, and I will tell you what you're going to put into the box, is what he says. Okay, it's pretty cool. And then, this is the hard part, he says, I want you to make two cherubims. Come here, brother cherub. Now everybody's looking down. I want you to make two cherubims, and you got one, come right over here, stand right here, and kind of face that thing, yeah. And come here, brother Dennis. Yeah, come on, man. He says, oh, man, come on. Thank you, brother. And you're going to stand right here. And I want you guys to listen here. I mean, here's what it says. Once again, it says, thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof. The cubit and a half shall be the breadth thereof. That's exactly the size. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. These guys look like gold? They're golden, aren't they? They are, man. Of beaten work. I'm sure they've both been beaten. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Of beaten work shalt thou make them, and on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And this is basically what he's saying, one on each side of the mercy seat. And then he says this, one cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end, even on the mercy seat, you shall make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And then verse 20, he says, the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high. So we're going to have these guys stretch forth their wings on high. All right, on high, both of you. Yeah. Come on, that's what I'm talking about. We're getting there. We're still getting there. This is, like I said, this is the hard part. The cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look to one another toward the mercy seat. Shall the faces of the cherubims be. Okay? So praise God. So if you kind of picture, and there's another place where it says the wings of the cherubims are actually touching. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
How many of you guys think? And then it says that their faces are not, they're actually not looking at each other. They are looking at this, what the Bible calls the mercy seat. You guys get that?
Yeah.
How's that cool? Does that look cool?
Yeah.
This is what God was building in that sanctuary. You got these two angels looking at the mercy seat. It looks cool. I like it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You guys okay? Oh, hey, you stopped. What? Yeah. No. Just hang in there. Just because we're gonna be needing you. Hallelujah. Okay. So. With the seat, with their faces of the cherubim shall be, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and the ark shalt thou put the testimony that I will give you. Do you see that where it says, I will give you the testimony that's going into that box. And there will I meet thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims. Where is God going to communicate with man? Right in here. Right here. In between these two cherubims got their arms up. They got their wings up, I'm sorry. They got their wings up and they're looking towards this thing. But what's in the box? Later on, we find out what God begins to tell them to put in the box. What happened when Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days when they brought the children of Israel out? What happened when he came back down? What were they doing? What were they doing? They had built a calf. They had built an idol. And they were worshiping this idol, weren't they? So the first thing that God told them to put in the box, now like I say, this is built from scratch. The first thing they said was, God said, put the commandments in there. Put them commandments in that box. Okay. The second thing he had them put in there was, God began. They got hungry. Remember how they got hungry? And they started saying, God, give us something to eat. We're hungry. And telling Moses, hey, Moses, you bring us out here to make us starve? Give us food. We need food. How many of you guys like food? Anybody here doesn't like food? I love to eat. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. So God began to give them what? Manna. What is it? This is what the Bible calls it. Manna is called, what is it? He began to give them manna, and they're eating it. And they got, banana bread. Manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, manna for... So can you say that, I could get tired of manna. Is that right? So they begin to complain and cry, Complain and cry. So God told Moses, take a pot of manna, and I'm going to, this is the other thing. That's one of the other things that was in there. It was. Are you guys getting tired? You guys okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Thank you. This is I stole one of my grandson's pancakes this morning. Praise God. Anybody want pancakes? Yeah. God told Moses, put a pot of manna inside that testimony. So Moses puts a pot of manna inside that ark. Then there was another event where God was talking to Moses, and the people said, hey, you know what? We don't like the way this guy's leading us. How many of you say yeah? And a bunch of, yeah. What do you say? We pick our own leader. Yeah. So Moses, what does Moses do? Man of God, he goes and he falls before the Lord and he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? God tells him, tell the men of every tribe, the leader of every tribe, 12 tribes, to take their staffs, their rods, and place them in a place, and I don't know if it was a cave or what, but place them in there, and I will show you who's going to be the leader. So all the men took their staffs or their canes or whatever you want to call it, their walking sticks, and this is as close as I could get. And the Bible says that Aaron, Moses' brother, his staff or his stick, which was dead, actually grew almonds. How do you like them almonds? Pine cones. I was up in the top of my pine tree this morning clipping off. actually falling on the ground. But that's what they did. And because they had rejected the leadership. Now there's the three things that they did. Number one, they rejected God's leadership. Number two, they rejected God's provision, his food. And number three, they rejected his word. Oh man, you got to tell your friends about this one, huh? Rejecting God's word. So therefore, God said, throw that in the box. Ta-da. Now God said, this is what you're going to do. He says, you're going to kill a lamb or an ox, and you're going to take his blood, and you're going to take it, and you're going to pour it on the top of that mercy seat. You get that? All right? The high priest, once a year, okay, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to go read. If you guys want to sit down just for a second, but don't go home.
Okay, fly away.
Praise God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, and the writer of Hebrews is now writing about the mercy seat and the tabernacle and everything and the goings-ons of it. And so he's explaining it a little bit. And he says this, then truly the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service, a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, now folks, we're talking about what's in there. After the second veil, it says, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, which we just talked about, okay, the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein inside was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. We've seen the cherubims, is that right? Shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. Now, I'm going to speak particularly right now because we can talk about it. Amen. There was a high priest. Amen. The high priest, whoever was the high priest that year, had to go in one time a year. Only once a year he would go in there and offer blood of the animals on that mercy seat. One time a year. So, folks, there was a couple of Aaron's sons had offered some strange fire. You guys remember that? And God, because it was strange fire, it wasn't in according to how God had set things up, God killed them. They died before the Lord right there. So there was a little bit of fear going on. Whenever that priest would go in there once a year, yeah, you're high priest. You want to go? No, okay. So that high priest had to go in there. I'm going to ask the high priest, come on, come here, brother. Come here, John. Hallelujah. Okay, we can get our cherubims up there again. Are you going to tie my leg? Yeah, you can stand right there for a second. Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to represent the blood, okay? So here you go. You can just hold that right there. And yes, I'm going to tie your leg. Praise God. Good question. The high priest, why was his leg tied?
So they could pull him out.
In case of what? So can you agree with me that there might have been a little fear factor going on here? Is that right? Go ahead, kick your leg up.
I'm afraid already.
Like shoeing a horse. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't let my wife get on.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Lanny, we're going to put you in tight. Let's see, we got room now. Brother Jeff.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, brother. If you want, pull it anytime. It's okay. Praise God. Hallelujah.
I'll buy you some coffee later.
Hallelujah. Now, you know that nobody else could go in there, just the high priest. So how do they know that God didn't? They tied a little bell on him. We're going to put a bell on you. Come on, ring those bells. Give me up. I want to go this way. No, I want to go this way. Yeah, right there. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Try it out. Walk back and forth. Let's see if that works. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, once a year this was happening. Once a year. The high priest would come with the blood, shivering and shaking probably, and he would walk up. And before you put that on, what were these two? Put your hands up and your faces toward. What were these two looking at? They're looking at the mercy seat, but there was no blood on the mercy seat. So what was happening, they were looking through the mercy seat and they were seeing the sins of the people. The Bible says that one of those angels was called judgment and the other one was called mercy. Isn't that crazy? The Word of God also says that by two or three witnesses shall anything be established. So if you got two witnesses, you can say, well, it's established. Is that right in the Word of God? So here, brother, you're going to be judgment. You're going to be mercy, okay? Right now, the judgment angel is looking and he's yelling what? Judgment. Judgment.
Yeah, go ahead. Judgment.
And you say, I agree.
I agree.
See, because there's no blood there. One is calling judgment and the other one's saying, I agree. See, it's an agreement. God says, hey, two things. By two or three witnesses will anything be established. So the people needed judgment because of what was inside that box, what they'd seen. Isn't that crazy? It's cool. But then the high priest, shivering and shaking, comes up and he places the blood. And now this angel begins to yell, mercy.
Mercy.
Yell it loud.
Mercy.
That's not loud. Yell it.
Mercy.
There you go. One more time.
Mercy.
Yeah, and you send the other angel is saying, I agree.
I agree.
Yell it again.
I agree.
Mercy.
Mercy.
I agree.
Mercy.
I agree.
Praise God. Praise God. You guys see what's happening. This was the reason of that Old Testament, of what God was showing the people. The Bible says that there was a sanctuary in heaven like this. Do you remember when Jesus told Mary, stop, don't touch me? He had yet to go and take his offering into the high sanctuary and pour out his blood. You see that? Isn't that cool? Is that good? How do you like that? Praise God. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that blood. Thank you, guys. Hey, you kicked off your rope. Should have pulled it. Come on. Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. Don't take my bell home with you because my wife will kill me. That's her bell. Praise the Lord. Do you see what was going on in there? Do you see what God is in? Do you understand a little bit that what Jesus was doing for us? Jesus, not only did he go up and pour his blood on that mercy seat, but God took that and set it off, never more to be remembered, because the blood is there. Is that right? Well, I want to take you through a few scriptures. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says this. I'm going to read it up on the board. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, does what? Cleanses us from how many sins? All sins, folks. All sin. All sin. I'm talking about the mindset of the kingdom, being confident in what God is saying to you. He has washed your sins away. If you've accepted him into your life, he's washed your sins. No more to be remembered. And the funny thing about God is, he knows the front of the parade to the back of the parade. Do you know that? He knows the beginning of time to the end of time. So when he says, when he says that your sins, all of them are washed away, he means all. Period. The Bible says, if you read it in Hebrews chapter 10, you read it, that says that that priest, he will never go in that place again. He will never be sacrificed again. Do you know that? He died once for all, for everybody. Isn't that good? Praise God. So, hey, you're living, you're breathing today. Whatever it is that's troubling you, know this, that God has already paid for it. If you haven't asked him to forgive you, ask him now. He's listening. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're trying to catch me with that, aren't you? Time I walk by there, he gets a hand. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Let's read that. Hallelujah. But God, who commends his love toward us, in that we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. What does it say? Justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Hallelujah. I got so excited in these guys, man. Just praise God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14 says that, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's one of those things that I don't know why, but it has gotten a hold of me. I want people to be filled with all spiritual understanding and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he's done. I mean, that's what I want, because I know that's what the world needs. That's what we need. Hallelujah. We don't need quiet, silent Christians. We need people that are filled with the knowledge of God and everything that he desires. And then when you go out, I'm going to tell you, you're going to find out that his desires are reaching out. Come on, man. Hallelujah. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in what? Every good work. And increasing again in what? The knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I mean, do you see what it says there? All patience and long-suffering. How many of you guys like suffering? How many like, and then add a little more. How many like suffering long? Yeah, come on, man. But that's what he's saying. That with all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness. It's, folks, whatever's going on, we got to be full of joy. You're making you nervous, aren't you? You got to be full of joy. God wants you joyful. Folks, because it is a kingdom mindset. Listen, I'm still talking on mindset. It is the way God operates. It's a mindset of the kingdom. If you're murmuring and complaining, praise God. Good luck with that. He said, what? Good luck with that. Stop murmuring, complaining, and start in the knowledge of what Jesus has done for you, joyfully. Amen. Giving thanks to the Father, which has made us, that word means fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into where? The kingdom of his dear Son. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What is redemption? What is redeemed? What does it mean to be redeemed? What is God saying when he says, I have redeemed you? He's basically saying one thing, I brought you back, but I have placed you back into the design that he had for you. It's real. It's so real for you. The design that he totally intended for mankind, he's paid for it and brought it back. It's available if you'll believe him. How many say yeah? How many don't want to believe God? How many do want to believe God? How many? And God is saying, believe me, the redemption is intact. It is real and it's for you. It's not against you. Hallelujah. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of what? He's forgiven you. You are forgiven. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. I'm going to say this. Let me just say this to you real. This is a secret. You're forgiven. You really are. You really are. You're forgiven. You are living in a state of forgiveness. You're forgiven. Forgive yourself for what's been contrary. Forgive yourself. Because he says, man, I've forgiven you. My son poured his blood out for you. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ is a key to the kingdom. It really is. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 21 says this. I'll wait for them too because I'm flipping my Bible. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your father. Let me just say something about it. You're not redeemed with gold, silver, precious stones, houses, cars, anything that you have been redeemed by this, what it says here, right? The next verse. You have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. As a lamb without blemish, and without spot, pointing to this, without blemish, without spot, you have been redeemed by blood, by the blood of the Son of God. Hallelujah. What's the most powerful substance in the earth today? Does anybody know? Natural, yeah, it's the blood of Christ. I was listening to a thing on NPR, do you guys ever heard of spider silk? For its size, it has the strongest tensile thing. It is the strongest biological substance known to man. Spider silk. How many, can anybody, can you tell a spider web, a black widow spider web from a regular spider? Have you ever, what is it about it? When you pull on it, it pops, doesn't it? It sounds like little tiny pieces of breaking glass, isn't that right? That's a black widow, that's a widow's nest. It'll sound like, it'll have a little popping sound when you pull on it. And so they say that, I mean, that according to NPR Radio, sorry, NPR Radio said that was the number one. What they have found that there's some kind of a mollusk, is that the way you say it? One of those things that attaches itself to a rock in the ocean? Its teeth, their teeth, they have found that now, it was saying on it, but I don't remember. But it was just saying, I'm just telling you what I remember. Is that okay? But the teeth have a stronger tensile than what the spider silk on a spider web. So now the strongest biological material in the earth is a mollusk tooth. Nice information, huh? But like when I asked before, the strongest is absolutely the blood of Christ. There is no match for it. How many of you ever heard the term, and I'm sure, plead the blood of Jesus? And I'm going to say, and let me just say this myself, I pled the blood of Jesus. Things would be going on, and I would plead the blood. I said, Lord, I plead the blood over this. Lord, I plead the blood over this. Lord, I plead the blood over this. But the Lord started speaking something to me. He says, you know what? That's not a tool for you. It is a position. It is a placement of where you've been positioned. The blood of Jesus has positioned you. Do you know that? You are in position to receive everything that God has given you. Do you know that? All you got to do is believe it. You know that Adam used to walk with God in the cool of the day. Cool, God, man. You know, he was walking back. Hey, God, let's go over here. He used to walk with God in the cool of the day. But you know what? But something happened, which we all know. The earth and everyone in it was plunged into sin. The curse came into the earth. So when Jesus was on the earth, he would spend all night with his Father. All night. How many? Jesus would go on a place to pray and pray all night. He was spending it with his Father. You know, Jesus spent time with his Father. How many know that God has positioned us back into that place? Do you know that? To walk with God. Spend time with your Father. Hallelujah. I would ask you, how many, when was the last time you spent time with God? When was the last time that you spent all night with God? I would just say to you, guess what? He's always with you. He's never going to leave you. He's always with you. So yeah, how many of you spent time with God? Yeah, come on, man. He's always with you. It's a mindset of the kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? So to plead the blood of Jesus, I understand that. But it's not a tool that you use. It is a position. It's something that you've been bought into. I want you to look at these scriptures. You know what, guys? I didn't give you this scripture, but I can feel, well. Isaiah 22:22. Can you bring that up? I want you to look at this, because we're talking about keys of the kingdom. We're talking about those things. I want you to look at Isaiah 22, verse 22. Hallelujah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon whose shoulder? Jesus' shoulder. And he says, so he shall open, and none shall what? Shut. He shall be for a glorious stone to his father's house. You see, this is a key. Jesus has given, God is saying in Isaiah, I'm giving to you a key. Let me give you this key. It's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus. It opens where no man can open. Can you say that? Heaven is open to you. Praise God. Heaven is open, wide open. God's saying, come on. Come on. Hallelujah. And no man can shut that door. Hallelujah. Oh, you got to get it. Hallelujah. Watch these scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 23 through 24. Look at these. What's it telling you? Hallelujah. But you are coming to Mount Zion, and under the city of the living God, and the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. This is where you're going. I mean, when you get before God, this is where you're at. He's telling you, this is where you've come to. Zion, the city of the living God. And then he says, and to God, the judge of all, and to all the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of this new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. And that speaks better things than Abel. Do you hear that? Do you remember what Abel's blood said? Hey, vengeance gone. Abel's blood was speaking when God said, remember when Cain had killed Abel and where's your brother? Because am I my brother's keeper is what Cain said. And God says, how is it that I hear his blood crying to me? You hear that? The Word of God says that the life is in the blood. Do you know that? The life is in the blood. Jesus spread his life. He poured out his blood for us. And it speaks better things than that blood. How many know that? It is speaking things to you, folks. It's saying, it's open to you. Will you go in? The kingdom, it's open to you. Zion is open to you. The assembly of the firstborn, it's open to you. Will you go in? Look at the next verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hallelujah. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Simple scripture. Having boldness. Hallelujah. Are you entering because you know you belong there? Or are you entering because you know, God, I'm so... Hey, you know what? God is saying, come on in. Just come in. I'm ready for you. Hallelujah. Next verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. You see, the blood of Jesus has positioned you. It's just not a tool, it's a position. God has said you are welcome into the kingdom. And this last verse, folks, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. John, can you? I like this verse. I like them all. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. Go over these scriptures. Hopefully you took some notes. Go over some of these scriptures because God is saying to you, this door is open. The door is open. Come in. Sup with me, he says. Hallelujah. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, hallelujah, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, what? Forever and ever. I just want you to say this. That blood, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Know this, that blood is doing something for you. Hallelujah. Confidence in what God has given you to enter into his throne room. There's a place in the kingdom, there's a place in the Psalms where it says, my feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem, is what David was saying. And one morning I read that scripture where it said, my feet shall stand within thy great gates. And one of the scriptures I talked about in Hebrews came to my mind, where it says we are come to an innumerable amount of people, of angels. We've come to Mount Zion. Folks, I want to say this. When you are in your prayer closet, you are in Zion. Do you know that? You're not just in your prayer closet. You are in Zion. You are in the presence of an innumerable company of angels. When you are in your secret place with God, you are standing in the throne room of God. Do you realize that? Do you understand that? And in that throne room, God begins to speak to you. And He begins to speak to you about you. And then He begins to speak to you about you for others. He begins to speak to you about plans and purposes that He has for you. Hallelujah. Because He loves you. He went through all of this and then sent His Son to the cross to get you there, to get you in the kingdom. Are you taking advantage of it? That's all I'm saying to you this morning. Are you taking advantage of what God's done for you? Are you taking advantage of what He's given you? It is a key in this kingdom. And this key right here will unlock so many other keys for you so that you begin to see His purpose and His plan for you. So you begin to understand that He has more for you than you can than you've even thought of. So that you can understand that He has prepared for you things you haven't even thought of, haven't even dreamed of. Do you know that God has a dream for you? Do you know that? Do you know it? Do you know that He has things that He says, if they would just listen to me, if they would just hear me, if they would just find me, the Old Testament priests went into that place trembling and shaking. But He tells us to come boldly. Come boldly. Totally different attitude. Because your place has been bought. And God is saying to you, come. Just come. Spend some time with me. Listen for my voice and you'll find that I am speaking constantly to you. That I am desiring to lead and to guide and instruct you. So that your latter end would be exactly what He had designed for you. Amen. Ooh, man. God is calling you. I could come up to you and say, hey, Brother John, how much do you pray? Pastor John, how much do you pray? Oh, Pastor, I spend 12 hours a day praying. That's good. Dennis, Brother Dennis, how much do you pray? Brother Rick, how much are you praying? And you can lie to me all you want. You can lie to me. But God is saying, look, I've got a pure place for you. A pure place. A peaceful place. A place of joy. Peace. And along with that joy and peace, He brings understanding and wisdom. And glory. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm saying, get into the presence of God. The blood of Jesus has purchased this for you. It's yours. It belongs to you because of what He's done. Could we stand? Hallelujah. Father, I thank You this morning for Your word. I thank You, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Father, I thank You for the blood of Jesus. I thank You, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. I thank You, Lord, for what You've done for us, where You've placed us. You've placed us at the right hand, Father God. You've placed us in the heavenlies, Father God, with You, Father. And we thank You for that, God. So, Lord, even now, Father, I pray that there would be a fresh, refreshing to Your children as they go to find You, Lord, that there would be a powerful, a powerful inward sense of Your presence, Lord, that would draw them closer and closer. God, I thank You for it. I praise You for it.